27 to increase the resident deer tag by $4 to a total of $10 and pass it out with, recommend it out with a due pass recommendation.
Now, by my calculations, that would raise about $1.2 million. 310,000 tags times $4.
That's very close.
Then there's always the supply and demand question about how much does your demand go down when you raise it. I don't know.
That is correct.
But it's somewhere in that vicinity anyway.
There, I have no doubt there will be a slight dip at the outset, but it's very quickly absorbed. As it's been pointed out, the cost of the tag, I didn't figure it in pounds of meat because unfortunately my personal bias doesn't allow me to think of game animals as meat. But nonetheless, all of the normal values attached to it put it a very small number. $4 increase, $10 tag. That's my request. Thank you.
Questions for Commissioner Neal.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Monroe.
How many hunting licenses do you sell per year? Resident hunting license.
I don't have that number, and I probably should. I'm sorry. I'm sure someone behind.
363,000.
So only about 50,000 people that buy hunting licenses don't also buy deer tags. Is that a reasonable assumption?
My staff says it is.
Okay. You said that, Mr. Chairman, if I may continue.
Senator Monroe.
You said that the average cost of hunting deer is $20 in the western states. If we did, as you have asked, the cost in Oregon would be $21. That's your intention for Oregon then to be slightly above the average?
It's very interesting. It puts us at the average because of an interesting scenario. If we increase our fees from 14 to 20, it bumps the average up rather substantially. That's a little mathematical gimmick. It was especially designed to put us right at the average, give or take change.
Mr. Chairman,
it's chasing one's tail. As you raise your fees, the average goes up.
It's been a couple years since I bought a hunting license. When you purchase a hunting license at your local grocery store, is there still an additional fee on top of that, a handling fee for the 50 cents or something like that for the person that sells you the license?
Yes, sir. There is a handler's charge associated with the purchase of a license, and 50 cents, I believe, is the current rate. And it actually varies. There's a combination, and there are some tag fees, but they are all less than a dollar.
Okay. Well, the reason I asked this, Mr. Chairman, I was thinking that it, you know, might be nice if we came out with a nice round $20, 10 and 10, but it wouldn't really be 10 and 10 anyway because they'd have to pay another 50 cents or so for that handling fee. So.
Right. I also think that it would be worthwhile if I pointed out, if you would put me, that the round fee comes to the department and the small fees remain with the handler of the fee of the
right,
license
right.
writing. So it doesn't round out
right.
however you deal with it.
Yeah, but I'm thinking about the guy that's coming in to buy his hunting license and his deer tag. I was thinking if he could pull out that double saw buck and lay it down, boy, I'm in. But
we had
he's
going
to have to come up with another buck or so anyway for handling.
Of course. If you take it to 12 for the license, that's a rounder number at 22. Browns have to throw us down.
Senator Hamby.
Mr. Neal.
Yes, ma'am.
I recall last session as we discussed this very same bill, the committee had a great deal of discussion regarding the governor's mountain sheep tag.
Yes, ma'am.
And the decision now, apparently this year, is to drop that notion. Correct? It's to delete it from the bill. Or can you tell us what...
No, there's no intention of deleting that notion from the bill, whatever. I'm sorry, if that's some impression that you got, and I haven't, that is not the impression, believe me.
Then I must be in error. I was.
There is no intention of doing that.
Yeah, 3233, maybe we can get the department to explain that to us.
Can you perhaps, or maybe I should wait for the department, I'm confused in section.
There may be a technical question about how the bill was written. Mm-hmm. As far as the philosophy of the department or the commission, that is absolutely was not the intent. And I would have to defer to somebody else on the wording in the bill, actually.
Okay. Oh, I see. Yeah. Oh, it's still up there.
Yeah. This is just a reference to it.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Okay.
And you've apparently decided to allow juveniles now to go out and trap or hunt for furberry. That's a new kind of license, correct?
There has been some minor restructuring that was basically done by staff, and I'm really not prepared to address it. We asked the staff to take a lot of the loose ends of the license. We have not had a basic fee increase bill or even a cleaning up of our license in over 12 years and six biennia. And we asked our staff to technically take some loose ends, and there were some $1 for youth, and sort of lump them into some other categories. And I really wasn't prepared to address them because they aren't really fee generators at all. They're mostly housekeeping, if you prefer.
Fine, thank you.
Further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Randy Fisher, Director of the Department of Fish and Wildlife. Welcome. Identify yourself for the record and then proceed.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, my name is Randy Fisher. I'm the Director of the Department of Fish and Wildlife. And this, by the way, is Ralph Denny. He's the head of the Wildlife Division of the Department. You may ask a couple of questions, and I thought I would go over those for you. One of the questions you may have is, well, how did they get where they are in terms of this financial problem that we're in? First, in terms of license sales, and some of the numbers have been mentioned, in 1981 we've sold in hunting licenses 417,945 of those. 1986, we sold 363,520. That's almost a reduction of 55,000 licenses. In terms of deer tags, we sold 355,940 in 81 and 310,450 in 86, which is a reduction of nearly 45,000. Elk tags over that same period have only decreased slightly, however. Second, our fixed costs have increased and not proportionate to the revenues that had come in. For example, the legislatively approved salary and benefit packages for our employees during a period of 81 to now for, like, our biologists and techs have increased by almost $450 a month, which comes out to be an annual increase of some $800,000 over that period of time. Third, our operating expenses have increased at a rate higher than the revenue. And it's been mentioned before, the flying time for census taking and those sorts of things have increased by some 92%. We've noticed increases in our property taxes on our properties, and our utility rates have gone up drastically. Fourth, the legislative and executive office have mandated some programs that lacked an identification of other funding sources, and some of those include the Green Forage, the Damage Program, the Small Hydros, the Land and Forest Planning Acts. And what has happened with those is that cuts down our ability to shift the workload between our staff because they've got that job plus this, and so it cuts our flexibility some. Fifth, there will be a reduction in federal funds of nearly $900,000 in the ensuing biennium due to the reduction in the sale of ammunition and guns that comes back to the department from the federal government. This brings up another question, which you alluded to earlier, and that is, if we raise the price of the tags, will the reduction in the number of sales go down to the point where we will have gained nothing? Historically, and it has been mentioned, the last significant increase was 76. But since then, and historically around the nation, when you do an increase, the reduction is from 3 to 5% in total sales, but that does not result in a total reduction of revenue from the increase. Additionally, we feel that the number of sales, the reduction since 81, will not proportionally decrease the way it has. I think we've basically bottomed out. At least I hope we have bottomed out. The weather has been good this year, and hunters are getting excited about the possibility of a good season, especially in deer. So I think that we have sort of seen the end of the total reduction. And one further point is that just the raise and the increase in the governor's budget, at least the $3 for a deer tag, is not enough to really bother anyone, I don't think. And the last question you may have of me would be, what happens if you don't get this fee increase at all? And the answer is it would be around a 13% reduction. Specifically, we would have to cut the state police and enforcement by $240,000, which would result in their decreasing some staff. We would let 16.3 people go, if you can let a third of a person go. We would drop our red leg program. We would drop research for antelope, coyote, elk, and livestock. We would close two wildlife areas. We would reduce our planting and feed in some of our own wildlife, additional wildlife areas. And we would eliminate things like telemetry studies, some of our trappings, and those sorts of things. So basically, that would be the result. And I think that we could just answer any questions that you have. That might be the best way to do this from here on.
I guess I would like to see, and I don't expect you to give it to me right now, but in the next day or two, I'd like to see a chart that outlines the fees in the 11 western states, gives us the average, and then and also put obviously on that what the fees are in the 11, include Oregon in that okay. chart and you, with the average.
If you happen to have this at your desk,
I don't know if I do or not. Maybe I do.
It's on table 5. This is the whole thing. If you don't have that, then what we will do is give that to you immediately.
What's it look like?
The front of it says something like backpack.
Oh, I did, yeah, I did. I remember seeing that. I don't know if it ended up in my file here. Yeah, I don't have that right now.
Okay.
I did see it at one point, I remember. Probably sitting on my desk.
If everyone wants that, we can provide that for
you. You have one copy of it. I think all the committee members will need that. I don't know. I'm sure you already distributed it once, and right. we could all look around, but it probably would make sense to
we can
check with
another.
People and then get some more copies. Okay. I guess my... this is... Partially more concerned with an executive decision than a decision you made, but I guess I'd like to hear from you what is your view of if we adopt this fee increase, okay? It seems that a number of what I would consider, and I'm sure a number of landowners would consider fairly important programs as they relate to animal damage, and then some other programs which I don't even think we've talked about. Terms of wildlife and watchable wildlife and those kind of issues aren't going to be dealt with, and they aren't going to be funded. So I guess let's start just talking about the damage task force report.
Yes.
It seems to me that we're passing up a fairly major opportunity here to avoid a lot of problems and a lot of controversy that we get to hear every 2 years if we continue to fund this program, and we've got you set up an advisory committee with, I assume, fully representative of both sides.
Yes.
And they are unanimously in support of this report.
Yes.
And yet we have a situation where we're not going to fund this report. And I'm kind of trying to... Well, I guess I'd like to hear your reaction. Is this? Do you think this is valuable? Or, I mean, what... Please.
Well, I'm sure you respect the position that we're in.
Yeah, I do. You want me to have somebody else say it?
No, we...
You did come in with this... Okay, let's go back.
Yes.
You did come in with this as a decision package that you requested the governor to fund, and your proposal did fund this program.
That's 100% correct.
Okay. Obviously, you didn't do that frivolously.
That's correct also.
You thought that these were valuable programs that deserved attention.
And we still do.
Okay. I just want to get that on the... I mean, I understand, because I don't mean to put you in a tough spot, but I just want to get that clearly out there. Well, let me ask you this. Were there other decision packages that you came in with, in addition to the damage task force, that we potentially could be funding if we increased fees further than what's proposed in this bill?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to answer that.
Do me a favor and identify yourself for the record.
I'm sorry. My name's Ralph Denny. I'm the assistant director in charge of wildlife. In setting up and preparing our budget based on commission direction to attain the level of the average 11 western states, we put together 25 increase packages in priority order to reach those levels. 12 of those were adopted. The damage task force addresses an additional 5. And so we're still eight short, you might say, that need additional funding.
Can you give me a clue as to how much money you're talking about? I added this up, and it's slightly over $1 million just in the damage task force.
Yes, the entire 25 packages amounted to about $4.5 million.
And how much of it, how many, you said some number of packages were funded.
Yes, the packages in the governor's recommended budget were funded at the rate of $1.6 million.
Oh, okay. That's basically a restoration of what we already have.
Yes.
Or had.
Yes.
How much? Okay, so 1.6 minus 4. So you're looking at what, $3 million additional dollars for various decision packages?
Yes, that's true.
How do we figure out? How do we get access to what those were? How do we find out what they were?
Mr. Chairman, those are in our agency submitted budget. We could pull those out very easily and give them to you in priority order.
And please note that it's at my request, not at your urging. Further questions for Mr. Fisher or
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Brenneman.
Yes. Can't find these here. Randy, I don't know if you know the answer, but someone on your staff there might. On the non-resident mountain sheep tags, the new ones and the goat tags that are proposed at $900, can you give me any estimates? How many of those do you think you'll put out?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, until this Senate bill, non-resident sheep and mountain goat tags were not authorized. Were we to be able to authorize those this year, for instance, at the 5% level, we would issue 2 mountain sheep tags and no mountain goat tags. In other words, we issue about 50 mountain sheep tags annually to date.
And the question of the governor's trophy auction came up. It's in this bill, but is it being proposed to be taken out?
No, not at all.
No. How much did that raise last year?
It has never been auctioned in the state of Oregon. The average of all the states that auction tags amounts to about $37,000, with a high of $109,000 in Montana this year.
We had that provision, haven't we? Didn't we put
the
that
provision
in?
Has been there. It has never been utilized.
May I ask why?
Yes, you may. I'm not trying to waffle around on this. It has come up once or twice, and the commission has never felt we needed the tag. The income from a tag. Some people are very much opposed to that type of commercialization on wildlife.
Not the only one.
In this case, the means probably justifies the ends, because those monies would go to trapping and transplanting programs to expand the range and increase the populations.
Well, after all, I guess just an added comment, we're here looking at some sizable increases, perhaps, and it was an area I thought before that could, and I understand the opposition to it, but if you're really, in fact, asking for some money to be raised and you had an opportunity there to do that in a sizable way, I'd just sorry that it wasn't used. I've got a couple more questions, if I might.
Senator Brennan.
What's the average hunter that goes out every year, how many tags will we normally buy? What's he normally going to be looking at in the past? Deer tag and duck stamps and all together. What do they usually get?
Senator, mainly a hunter in Oregon will get a deer tag. Half of those people will get an elk tag. A few will hunt waterfowl. Not a few, but around 35,000 people will hunt waterfowl. Some of them are very selective, and that's all they do hunt. Most bird hunters are 1 or 2 day type bird hunters. It's just an outing, so to speak. But basically, to answer your question, deer, elk, and bird hunting are the biggest choosers.
Any consideration given to those few who might hunt everything in sight and be looking at a real wallop here if all tags were implemented along with license fee increase?
Well, Senator, the deer and the elk are the two species that we have general hunting seasons for. Bear also to a degree, but not too many individuals are involved in that. Other than that, the mountain sheep and antelope are on a drawing basis. They're such in such demand that people more or less will pay whatever is asked, but they're on a very limited basis. So getting back to your question, I would guess that if the person had the opportunity to hunt every species in Oregon, he would gladly pay the price just in order to hunt antelope and sheep on top of the other species.
Well, I don't know about gladly. I'll refer to some of my friends at home that try and get out and take part in all the hunts that they can, and they'll be adding them up, believe me. Thank you.
Further questions?
I guess, Madam Chair, I had asked of Representative Bellamy what was the question on the protected. I can't find it. If I were a rancher, I could, in fact, go out and kill any one of the non-protected animals, correct, that might be damaging them. But are there others that are not noted in the...
You're referring to the damage task force report or the...
Yes, the Cooper bear, bobcat, red fox, and non-protected species. And Representative Bellamy mentioned that on occasion, animals are added to that list. Is that correct?
Senator, it's been some time since animals were added to the list. A number of years ago, the bear, bobcat, fox, and cougar were considered predatory animals. They could be killed at any time, and they were. During, I believe it was two legislative sessions, the bear and the cougar were made big game mammals, and the bobcat and the fox were made fur bearers. At that time, however, it was still recognized that those animals were predatory type animals, that they could come in and do damage, a great deal of damage in a very short period of time, and that the landowner should have the ability to shoot on sight, so to speak, if that damage was taking place, rather than go through the administrative hassle of getting a permit. And so that was the rationale behind those four species being allowed to be taken without a permit while they were doing damage.
Second question, do you have frequent complaints as far as sheep doing damage?
Mountain sheep?
Yes.
No, we haven't. They're found in very, very remote areas and in numbers that damage just isn't much of a problem.
Is that true also of the mountain goat?
Exactly.
Thank you.
Additional questions?
Okay.
That's
Senator Monroe.
Follow up a little bit. If a bear is damaging your crop or your tree farm or something, it can be shot on site. If a deer or an elk is damaging your tree farm or something, you have to go out and get a kill permit?
Yes, that's true.
Do you get more, do you think that damage done by deer and elk is more frequent or less frequent than damage done by bear?
Well, we feel it's less serious at the time. There is a time period when we can go through that administrative process. A bear, for instance, it's knocking over beehives. That's taking place immediately on a very valuable crop. It should be, people should be able to take care of that immediately and then notify us that they've done that. That's the premise behind the rules on those.
Okay, but isn't it true that in terms of the sheer volume of damage done to crops, that there'd be a much greater volume of damage done by deer and elk than by bear?
Oh, I think that's very true.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Are we the back to the same listing? Are we the same? Are we in sync with the other Western states as to that list of bear, bobcat, et cetera, cougar? That's the last
thing. Senator, I'm just not familiar with the other state laws considering those species. I'm sorry, we could find out.
Thank you.
Okay, if you'll just drop that back to the committee, we'd appreciate it. Anything else? Okay, let's move on then to, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more people to test around this bill. Let's take Linda Breen.
Mr. Chairman, Senators, I'm Linda Breen, legislative spokesperson for the Oregon Hunters Association. And the Oregon Hunters Association supports Senate Bill 337 as it will provide some of the funds needed by the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife field staffs to manage wildlife populations and habitat more effectively. In the last legislature, Oregon Hunters Association had co-sponsored a revenue bill that requested license and tag fee increases to fund needed habitat improvement projects. Those increases were rejected by the legislature in spite of strong hunter support. License and tag fees are essentially a user fee. Only hunters or trappers will have to pay this fee. We are constantly working with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife to improve the status of wildlife in Oregon, and current budgets do not allow for even the current level of activity. License fees have not kept pace with the construction costs, cost of living increases, or other indicators of inflation. An adjustment in fees is needed and overdue. We, the user group, are willing to pay the higher license and tag fees for the types of projects contained in the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife's budget request. Senate Bill 337 goes only partway in providing the needed funds. Please amend this bill to provide for an increase in the resident deer tag to $12, page 2, line 8, and change the amount of the proposed increase in the elk tag to $25, page 2, line 4. These changes would bring in an additional $2 to $2.5 million per year over the Senate Bill 337 projections. In summary, please pass Senate Bill 337 with an amendment to the resident deer tag fee of $12 and the elk tag fee of $25. This would bring Oregon license and tag fees up to the average of the 11 Western states. Thank you for your consideration. I would also like to enter into the record the statement of Joanne Lobdell, representative for the Oregon Bow Hunters, in support of Senate Bill 337, which I've given to the committee assistant.
Thank you, Linda. We have both testimonies. Yeah, it's Other questions? Senator Hamby.
Thank you for your testimony. That's excellent. I'm pleased to hear that you support even the additional one, because I do too. Tell me, have you ever hunted in California?
No.
I was just noticing on our little handout that California does not have a hunting fee of any kind for elk, cougar, or sheep. And I know there are such animals in California. I was just wondering. You don't know.
Other questions? Well, someone else may be able to answer that. Who's yet to come?
Madam Chair.
Senator Cook.
Question of the witness. Are you, again, I would also thank you for the testimony. Are you aware of any organized hunting groups that are in opposition to 337? I remember the coalition that came together last session and watched them work. Are you aware? Is that same coalition at work today, or is there a split in the ranks?
I couldn't honestly answer that. I don't know of any other groups that are against it.
That's what I wanted to know.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Senator Moreau.
Just a comment. It almost sounds like we're in a poker game here. We start out with a bill that leaves the